John 14. So the title of the message, on a scale of 10, rate how sure you are of going to heaven. And I realize online, normally it's 5 stars that you have to rate. But if you're in a hospital situation, it's normally 10 levels of pain. So we've got 10 stars. If you could rate it, how sure are you of going to heaven? On 10 stars, 1 being the less sure and 10 being absolutely sure. Okay, thank you. John 14, we'll start in verse 1, but Brother Tim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, this opportunity to be in your house there and start the week off with you, Father. I just pray, Father, that you would bless the preaching of your word here today. I pray that we have prepared us to receive your word. Father, I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you as a result of that, or equipped to serve you in the days ahead. Father, I just pray that you would bless this service. May hearts be encouraged. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen. Once again, I'd like to thank you for your prayers for me. And I've missed a couple of Sundays here recently, last Sunday being one of them, and I appreciate your prayers. What a joy it is to be able, when you're not feeling well, to be able to tune in to the services. As I've mentioned, just the music before the service is such a blessing, the music during. The live stream picks up the orchestra instruments, and what a blessing. And I appreciate so much your prayers. John 14 in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have what? Seen him. So Jesus told us not to be troubled about eternity. He tells us right in this passage what to do to be sure of eternity. So, but is it all clear in your mind? So in your mind right now, on a scale of 1 star to 10, how sure are you of going to heaven? Absolutely sure? That's 10 stars. Questionable? Well, you'll have to pick the star level to do. So number one, if you're taking notes this morning, if you could not choose 10 stars, then it is because you are not sure of your relationship to God. If you could not choose 10 stars, then it is because you are not sure of your relationship to God. Who owns heaven? God owns heaven. Well, How did he take over? Well, he didn't take over heaven. He created it. Notice with me in Genesis 1. You know, God is not like Hitler. Some people like to make him out to be, you know, like a Hitler trying to take that which is not his. That is not true at all. Everything is his. He created everything. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created what?
The heaven and the earth.
So heaven is owned by God. That's why when people are not sure that they're going to heaven, it's because they're not sure of their relationship with the one who owns it, the one who controls it. If I were to ask you, okay, on a rating stars of 1 to 10, how sure are you that the person directly across from the church would invite you into their home? Well, if we were honest, none of us could put 10 stars down. You know why? Because none of us know that person on a personal level. None of us are related to that person. And that's why people have no positive assurance of heaven, because they don't have a personal relationship with Him. Number two, before God will ever open heaven's gate for you, you must open your heart's gate to Him. I'll say that again. Before God will ever open heaven's gate for you, you must open your heart's gate to Him. Notice in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. People are wondering, well, and of course, this is only illustration, you know, but they're wondering, well, when I knock on heaven's gate, will anybody let me in? Well, there's not going to be a scenario like that. No one's going to be knocking at heaven's gate to get in, because the moment we die, we are in heaven or we are in hell. Nobody's going to be knocking in that literal sense. So, Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. If any man will hear my voice and what? Open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." So if anyone wants heaven's gate to be opened, and as just for illustration's sake, you know, they picture knocking at heaven's gate one day. Well, if we do not respond to Jesus knocking at our heart's door today, then no, the gate is not going to be opened in heaven for anyone. So why? Why wouldn't people open their hearts to the Lord today? Well, very clearly, it's because they love their sin more. You know, when we open the door to our heart, to the Lord Jesus Christ, knocking at it, it's not like we're standing at the door having a conversation with Jesus. So, for illustration, so I go to the door. It's Jesus. I say, "Well, Jesus, it's wonderful to see you. I'm just so happy. Can I shake your hand? This is such a pleasant thing to meet you." But see, what does it say in verse 20? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will what? Come into him." Oh, Jesus, it's so wonderful to meet you and to shake your hand and to finally get to see you. But Jesus, I'm busy. I've got to go somewhere. So could you come back? Could you come back another time? I'd love to talk to you more, but I've got to go. That's not what it's like to open the door to Jesus and to turn him away. Notice with me in Acts 24. No, when we answer the door to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are opening the door for him to come in and to sup with us. That's to sit down and fellowship with him. In Acts 24:24, and we'll read 25 as well. Verse 24. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix," what? "Trembled and answered." And what did he answer? "Go thy way for this time. When I have a what? Convenient season, I will call for thee." That's not what answering the door to Jesus is like. It's not saying, "Oh, well, it was great to see you, to talk with you, but not now. I'm too busy right now. I can't." No, he never did get time. The Bible never records him ever having time, not Felix. Look in chapter 26. Chapter 26, verse 28. Actually, let's back up to verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, what? Almost thou persuadest me to what? Be a Christian. See, both of these Roman leaders, political leaders, rejected Christ. They didn't open the door. So in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So Jesus wants to come in and have fellowship with us. And you know what that means? Getting saved means we have a choice to make. Because we cannot follow sin and darkness and have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Those two don't mix. Notice in 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 6. Answering the door to Jesus. Requires a decision. 1 John 1, 6. It says if we say that we have fellowship with him, and the him is Jesus, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in what?
Darkness.
We what? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in what? The light, as he is in the light, we have what?
Fellowship
one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. When we open our heart's door to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not just having a conversation with the Lord at the door and then saying, oh, it's been great talking to you. Goodbye. Slam the door. But you know what? That's what many people have the idea of salvation is. It's just having a conversation with him. A conversation and then slam. You see, they're more than willing to say a prayer. They're more than willing to talk to God. But if it involves anything more, if it involves actually inviting him into my home, inviting him into my life, No. I'll have a conversation. I'll have this prayer with him. But no more. He's not coming into my home. He's not making any changes here. Now, notice in John 3, you know, the gospel message is so plain and so wonderful. We are so unworthy of his love. So unworthy that he would give his life for us. In John 3:13, the Bible says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now in this passage, just like we read in John 14, when he's talking to Philip, haven't you known me, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is showing that he is God. Once again, with Nicodemus here, verse 13 is all about showing Nicodemus that he, Jesus, is God. He's talking about, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Nicodemus, or Jesus, is standing before Nicodemus, and he's saying, you know, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven right now, too. Only God is everywhere at once, and Jesus is God. So he gets that right in here. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, how was the serpent lifted up in the wilderness? The serpent was lifted up on a pole. The Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up on a cross. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That who? Whosoever, what? Believeth in him should, what? Not perish, but have, what? Everlasting life. The gospel so clearly. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was lifted up for us. He died for us. The wages of sin is death. He paid that wage for us on the cross. We must look up. You know, when he put the serpent on the pole, people simply had to look. After they were bitten, look, and they would be healed. And we need to look to Jesus, and we can be healed. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. What a wonderful thing to have that placed on our account. Not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How does a person get in a situation where they're already condemned? By not believing on the name of the Son of God. So the gospel message is so clear, then why would anyone reject it? Well, verse 19, Jesus tells them. And this is what? The condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Because why? Their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, what? Hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, Jesus is knocking on a person's heart, wanting to come in. And a person has this decision. But if I invite him in, things are going to change in my life. Do I want light? Or do I want to continue in darkness? The darkness must flee, 1 John, as we saw, 1, 6, and 7. But what they're afraid of is this. If I invite Jesus to come into my heart and life, things are going to change in my life. And I know that if I respond to this knock of Jesus, later on I'm going to have to face this. Who's knocking there? It's your old friends. You see, if I respond to Jesus knocking at my heart's door and I open my heart's door to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm thinking ahead, but he's going to transform my life. But what's going to happen with this knock? What's going to happen when my old friends come along? Those old beer-drinking friends, those old drug-popping, pill-popping, needle-sticking drug friends. What's going to happen when my old gambling buddies come along? Hey, you want to run over to the casino this weekend? Hey, open the door. Come on. What's going to happen when my old friends knock and I invite them in and they find out all those old dirty movies are gone from my house? They're gone. They're not in the rack anymore. What's going to happen when my old friends knock and they come in and they find out that I have a different vocabulary now? I don't use God's name in vain. I bless people with his name now. What's going to happen when that knock comes along and my old immoral friends want to go out and party and be immoral? How am I going to cope with these knocks of my old friends wanting back into my life, not knowing that I answered the knock of Jesus at my heart's door, and he has transformed my life? Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so many people will not answer the knock of Jesus because they know what it means. You know, even unsaved people know that Christians are to be different. They know that. They know what a Christian should be. And so that's, notice with me in Revelation 21 and verse 8. So that's why many people will not answer Jesus at the door. Because they know. They know if they answer the door, it's not just a conversation. That conversation is only the beginning. It means opening the door to the Lord Jesus Christ coming in. Revelation 21:8. It says, but the who? The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is a list of people that are going to be one day be in hell. And who is first on the list? Verse 8. The who? The fearful. The fearful. They know Jesus is knocking at their heart's door. They feel the conviction of their sin. But they know, if I answer that door, it's going to mean a transformation of my life. And I'm thinking about all my old friends. What am I going to do when they knock at the door? And so many people are so afraid of the old friends knocking that they won't accept Jesus knocking at their heart door. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, what happens to people who do not personally know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we see right here, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, what?
I never knew you.
Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What happens to people who do not have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ? What happens to people who never open the door? They're thinking of facing heaven someday, knocking, trying to get into heaven. Listen, that knock is going to be in vain because they refuse this knock. Before heaven's gate is ever open, our heart's gate must be open to the Lord. It's the Lord knocking right now. He wants heaven's gate to be open to every one of us. But if we are not willing to open the gate of our heart, heaven's gate is not going to be open to anyone. So, number three, before God will ever open heaven's gate for you, your account must be paid. Notice in Romans 14. You see, people can't put down 10 stars when they're not sure of their account with God. Romans 14:12. So then who? Every one of us shall give what? Account of himself to God. What's on our account? I don't remember opening an account in heaven. God created heaven and earth, and God created us. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We have an account with God because our life, our breath is in God's hands. Our name is in the book of the living at the moment. And so we have an account with God. And notice in Revelation 20. The Lord doesn't have to worry about computer updates or lost memory or failed hard drives. God has everything in his books. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were what?
Written in the books
according to their works. What is on our account? what is on our account in God's books? Everything that we've ever done. Everything. Every lie that we have ever told is written down. Every bad word we have ever said is written down. Every wrong thought that we have ever thought is written down. Everything, every act that we've ever done is recorded in God's books. That's why people aren't sure of heaven, because everything is down. Nothing is missing. And unsaved people are going to be judged according to each one of them. Well, then, what about us? What hope is there for us? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Well, apart from God, there is no hope. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is what? Death." What would clear our account? What would clear our sin account? We have before God. I mean, do you use a credit card? How long is the list at the end of the month if you use one? Well, how long is our list in heaven of sin, of things we've done wrong? Who knows how many books it would take to fill? The wages of our sin is death. So what has to be paid on our behalf? That wage of sin, the death. That's why if you look at chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were," what? "Yet sinners," with all those books and books of sin, everything we've ever done. "While we were yet sinners, Christ," what? "Died for us." There's one thing that would clear our account in heaven, and only one. If someone who is perfect could die for us. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He died for us. That's the only thing that could clear our account. Would you notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2? 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. We'll read through verse 6. 1 Timothy 2, 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God," what? "Our Savior, who will have all men to be," what? "Saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." No one's going to be able to accuse God someday of saying, "But you didn't care about me. You didn't want to save me." Well, that's not true. God, verse 4, God wants all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself," what? "A ransom for" who? "For all." That includes all of us. "To be testified in due time." God gave himself a ransom. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for us. What was the ransom on our soul? Death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that wage. And that's the thing about the resurrection. Easter's coming up soon. What is the importance of the resurrection? The importance is the wages of sin is death. That was the payment. Someone perfect must die to provide the ransom for us, or we will be punished forever because of our sin in hell. Jesus paid that ransom. And so death could not hold him. I mean, if the wages of sin is death and Jesus died for us, okay, but how do we know? How do we know we actually was successful? How do we know our account is clear? Well, it's because Jesus rose from the dead. The wages of sin couldn't hold him. And he rose. That's the importance of Easter. And if you look in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that is why the resurrection is an important part of the gospel. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. The resurrection is there. Verse 10, for with what? The heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, what it boils down to is this. You either have a 10-star assurance of salvation, or if you have 1 through 9, you have nothing. Nothing. There's no such thing as a salvation that is hoped so. If you have a 10-star salvation, your trust is totally in Jesus Christ. Do you acknowledge He created heaven and earth, man, and all things? He owns heaven. We have an account there. There's sin, all of our sin on that account. And there's only one thing that can pardon us from that whole list, and that's the pure, sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So people say, well, I'll choose 1 star. I'll choose 5. I'll choose 7. I'll choose 9. I just hoping, no. No, when your trust is in Jesus Christ, you know what it takes. You know if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know. And if you don't know, 1 through 9 stars is not going to make it. It's only 10. It's only complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His precious blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You how clear it is. And Lord, we think of the multitude of people in this world that doubt their salvation. They don't know. And Lord, we know it's because they're not sure of their relationship with You. And Lord, we've seen tonight that there's only one way to be sure of our relationship with You, and that's to open the heart's door to the knock of the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to come in and to save us, to cleanse us, to give us a new life. But we know, Lord, that many people are too worried about those other knocks. The old friends, the old sin that's going to come knocking. And they're too afraid to open the door and to let You transform their lives. I pray, Lord, if there should be any here this morning who are in that situation, help them to realize, Lord, that their own fear is going to condemn them to hell someday, unless they open their heart's door to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save them, to cleanse them, to give them a new life. Lord, work in our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn.